Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it very much. Today, we're going to talk about a variety of things. One of the items, I want to talk about just some of the basic first-time home buyer. And really, it goes for any home buyer, anybody looking to buy a home. We just have so many people out there looking to buy a home. We have a tremendous amount of home buyers, first-time home buyers. So I want to talk about that. I have started every Wednesday. We do a class for first-time home buyers. We do it online. So if you know of anybody or you are a first-time home buyer and that you would like to participate in the class, it's all done online. You don't have to go anywhere. You can do it right out of your house. Just let me know. Go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And just contact me. Let me know that you want to be included in the first-time home buyer, and we'll make sure you get an invitation to sign up for that class. And that way you can, in fact, let's do it that way, but you may see, if you see I may be able to put a link there on my site that gives you a place to sign up for the next class. So, if you or anybody you know wants to do first time home buyer, definitely please, go to the website and look at that. There's just so much to talk about. There's so many things involved in buying homes, and it's different depending on your market, the price range. There's just so many things that it really helps, I think, for a lot of people to do the first time. I've done this, three times now, every 2 weeks, and we've had, 250 people so far as part of, it's probably a little less than that, probably 248, 247, people who have signed up and come to the seminar. Most people have been very excited about it. They've liked it. We've done quite a few pre-approvals and helped them to get prepared. And here's the other part. With a first-time home buyer, with anybody, sometimes there's issues. Sometimes you have credit issues, or maybe we need to have more money down, or we need, there's things that need to happen. Well, that's all part of meeting with me on, talking to me over the phone, so that we can go through your situation. Cause what we want to do is make a plan. We want to help people buy homes or even refinance and get the very best options you can possibly get. So in order to do that, we need to make sure if there's something that we can do on credit to get the credit scores up. I've helped many people. We've taken the credit score, and let's say that I'll just do one. I've just had, we had a credit score come in. It came in under 700, not a lot under 700, but a little bit under 700. And so we ran a program that we have through our credit company, our credit reporting company, and it told us exactly what to do. We sent that report to them. They did what they were supposed to do, and it didn't get their credit score up a ton, but it got it over 700, and it made a difference of 0.125% in their interest rate. Well, 0.125% in their interest rate was like $25 a month. $25 a month is a lot of money. For all they had to do is do some really minor things. It's definitely worth it, and it's one of those things we really want to do. We want to give you the best options possible. I know everybody thinks we just want to sell a mortgage, and obviously I want to do your mortgage, but I also want you to have the best possible option, and I want to help you get to that. And if increasing your credit score will do that, doesn't help on everybody, because some people have sterling credit, or sometimes I can't get it up in a timely fashion. But if we can work on that, even if it takes 6 months, 7 months, we can get it, help you get to where it needs to be so that you can move on. We would love to help you do that, especially to buy a house. It's just really great for people when they all the benefits you can have, you can gain by owning a home. It's funny, because I may have these numbers a little bit off, but a homeowner compared to a renter has, I believe it's 204, on average, $244,000 in additional net worth. So by owning a home, the average homeowner has a net worth of $250,000, where the average renter has a net worth of $6,000. That's $244,000 because by owning a home. Why? Because you take the money that you spend on you buy a house and you're making a payment. Part of that payment is going towards the principal, lowering the balance of the mortgage. So you're gaining equity there. You're gaining net worth there. All right. But that's only a piece of it. The other piece is the house is increasing in value. Last year, like we said, it increased in Indianapolis somewhere in the neighborhood of 14% year over year from September to September. So 14%. So if you bought a $200,000 house, that 14%, that means your house is worth $228,000. It would have increased at 14%. So you gained $28,000 in net worth, plus whatever you gained in equity by paying down the mortgage, which may not have been a whole lot. It may have only been $4,000. So now you're at $32,000 in additional net worth. You take that for a few years, and it just keeps compounding. It gets better and better. Obviously, 14% on 228 is more than $28,000. So let's say it's $31,000. So now instead of being worth 228, you're now worth 254 or whatever that number is. So you just keep increasing the value of your net worth, and it doesn't take long. It sounds like it's a lot of money, and it sounds like it might take some time, but it really doesn't. As opposed to when you're paying rent, you're just paying the rent, and you're not getting anything in return. I mean, you're getting the place to live in return, but you're not gaining any equity in the property, and that can make a big difference. So if you haven't owned a home before, or you know somebody who hasn't, it really does make sense to encourage them to at least start thinking about it and looking at the possibility of buying a home, you know, soon. It doesn't have to be right now, but it certainly does make sense. Now, you know, we know that for first-time home buyers, but you know, I say for first time, but I've watched this for people who've bought homes, you know, maybe one, two, three homes, four homes. They still have a lot of the same feelings. They're concerned, they're stressed out, they're intimidated. Not so much intimidated if you bought a bunch of homes, but you're stressed, anxious, uncertain. The uncertainty, it's amazing to me, the many, many people who have phenomenal credit or phenomenally well prepared to buy a home are the most concerned about it. They just feel very nervous about this whole situation and wonder if they're going to get approved. Because even if you're, no matter where you are, there's always that little piece in the back of your mind. So the very best thing you can do if you're looking at buying a home, first-time home buyer or not, the very best thing you can do is we can look, you know, we want to do a pre-approval. We want to talk about the pre-approval. We want to go through a pre-approval, get the application, and pre-approve you so that you know. Now, we don't want to do that, you know, I want to buy a home in 2 years, let's do that now. For the most part, we don't want to do it that early. Now, there could be reasons to do it that early. So if you're somebody, you say, you know, I have some issues in my credit, then we might want to look at it really early so we can get those things corrected, give you, you know, tell you what needs to be done, get you the path in order to get those credit scores up, to get the very best options, either maybe even get you from not qualifying to qualifying, or maybe get you from qualifying to at this rate to a much better rate. The other thing that we would want to look at is what's called debt to income ratios. Those are also extremely important when we're looking at qualifying somebody. So the debt to income is going to matter, and that's another piece we can look at and go, well, you know, here, let's get this taken care of. Let's lower this. Let's do this so that we know we can get that debt to income in line if that's what needs to happen. Vast majority of people, quite honestly, we're going to run it. We're going to go through it and you're going to qualify and everything's going to look good. But most people know if they have issues or if there's something there, or maybe they have no credit, whatever it happens to be that you think there might be an issue. We really want to talk about that. And then some people who think they have no issues and really don't, there may be something in their credit report, or there may be something that isn't theirs. They didn't know about it, or most of the time it's not theirs because they have perfect credit, but something shows up, and then we can work on getting rid of that so that it goes away and it doesn't cause any issues. So it is something that does make a tremendous amount of sense to do that before you start going looking at homes, before you get too excited. So go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com and contact me from there. It's got my website, or at my website, it's got my email address, it's got my phone numbers. You can text me, you can contact me directly from the website. If you know you want to fill out an application and you would rather do it online than have my person, my loan origination manager, give you a call, then you can at the top of the website, it says apply now. Click there, you can apply now. You can put that information in, and then we can talk about it and figure out what we need to do to help you either buy a home today or get you prepared to buy a home, or if you're looking at refinancing, possibly cash out, anything like that, we can talk about that. We'll have all the information. After the break, we're going to go over a little bit more on the steps to home ownership for first-time home buyers.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. I appreciate taking some time out of your Saturday to talk about home ownership, real estate, and mortgages. I've been in this, you know, in real estate and mortgages basically most of my adult life. I've been in it for well over 30 years, and it's one of those. It's something that I really enjoy, and I love doing it. Everybody always asks, you know, Rick, when are you going to retire? And it's like, I don't see any reason to retire because my hobby is work. I like doing what I do. I like helping people. I'll probably slow down at some point, you know, but, it's not really my thing. I like to work. I like to work with people. And so, once you've done something long enough and you have a good idea how to do it, you feel pretty confident in what you do. You understand the process. You understand the markets. You understand what's going on. You know, for the most part, you can. It's an enjoyable process. It's an enjoyable time. Just know that anytime you're doing a mortgage or even buying a home, there's a lot of stress through that time period. So sometimes we react differently as a buyer of a home or a mortgage. Somebody doing a mortgage, where you know it's not. It's just the stress that comes under all that has to happen. And with mortgages, it's gotten a little better since COVID is, you know, not gone, of course, but kind of slowed down. We don't have some of the rules have eased up a little bit. But I will tell you, if you're a self-employed borrower, just know, you know, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. It can all be done. It just takes more paperwork. It takes more verifications because it's just through conventional or FHA financing. That's what they've done. They've just set the rules up for self-employed borrower to be a little bit, because they've had so many things fraud committed that they just want to verify everything. So it isn't difficult, but it is time consuming. It takes a little bit of time, but it's worth it, especially if you're buying a house or refinancing, saving a bunch of money.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
Yeah, I had a customer call me the other day, and they had been thinking about refinancing for quite some time. I know we've been talking about buying a home, but they've been thinking about refinancing for quite some time. And I understand rates have gone up a little bit, not significantly. We're still in the low threes on a 30-year fixed, so it's still very, very good. But they were over 5%, and they just hadn't done anything. No real, just, you know, it's just one of those things. I do the same thing on a lot of my, you know, I don't go get my oil changed sometimes as soon as I ought to, you know, things like that. It's just things that you should do, but you just don't do it. And that's the way they were. Everything, you know, was great. They just had put it off. And it is amazing, though, how much you can save. I remember just in this case, they were saving in the first 5 years on a, you know, let's say $140,000 loan. I could be a little off, but they were saving almost $10,000 in the first 5 years. It's a huge amount of savings. That's after even the cost of doing the mortgage, and that was And then the lowering the payment because they went back to a 30-year was they were lowering their payment $600-$700 a month. I mean, we're talking about huge savings, really life-changing savings. You know, if we, especially, you know, if you take like somebody like this where they take that money, they take that $600-$700 a month. Yes, they went on a 30-year. It's going to take them longer to pay off their loan. But if you take that $600 or $700 a month, and you start putting that into an investment, and you just get the normal, the average return in the Dow of 8%, I think last year the Dow was like 40% or something. It was some ridiculous number. But if you just get 8%, now some years you're going to get less, some years you're going to get more, and you're only paying an interest rate somewhere in the low threes, and you're and even mid threes, four, even 4%, you're getting 8%, you're getting more. And that money's growing, and you keep putting that in there. It is amazing what that can do for you. Not only will you save enough to pay off the loan anytime you want, but you're also going to have that money saved that you can do with it as you please. Certainly would help you towards retirement, or if you decided you wanted to do, you know, use it for some, you know, pay college expenses, things like that. The other nice thing about doing that is that money sitting in an investment, as long as it's not a retirement investment, just a, you know, in the market, you can get back out, and you can get it out rather rapidly. If you have the equity in your home, it's not that easy to get out. You have to either refinance the home, take the 30, 35, 40 days to get the home, to get it refinanced and get your money, maybe do a home equity line of credit. But let's say it's an emergency, you need it right away, or let's say something's happened, you've lost your job and you need money to live off of, and you have all this money, which I've seen this happen, especially through COVID. You have all this money in your house. You have all this equity in the home, but you don't have a job to make the payment. So your choices really come down to sell your house because you can't refinance because you don't have a job, so nobody's going to refinance you. You know, get the money some other place. Or if you had investments where you could just pull the money, everything's fine. The stress isn't there. So it can make a tremendous amount of sense to go back to a 30-year if you've done that. It can also make sense, and I know it sounds, well, he's telling us both of them make sense. They do, because there is no one right answer to this. It can make a lot of sense to do a 15-year. This person, if at over 5%, can be down in the low twos, mid twos, on a refinance. That is a huge amount of savings. Probably still lower their payment, and pay the home off in a timely fashion, and really, you know, gain a lot of equity and save quite a bit of money. But you have to do what's right for you, because it makes a lot of sense to do the 30-year. It makes a lot of sense to do the 15. All depends on what you're trying to accomplish. And you know, like for me personally, a lot of people think I would want to do the 15, but I'm actually the 30-year type person. I would do the 30-year. I'd rather take that money and invest it and put it in investments. But let's get back to a first-time home buyer. And it's really not just for first-time home buyer, but we're going to talk more about a first-time home buyer. The very first thing that you want to do, actually, if you're a first-time home buyer, is come to my class. Go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Send me your information. Call me, text me, send me an email. My email address is there. You can contact me direct from the website. Tell me that you would like to know about the first-time home buyer seminar, and we will make sure that you get an invitation. That'd be the first thing. The very next thing that you want to do, and this goes for everybody, whether you're a first-time home buyer or not, the very next thing you want to do, we've talked about this a bunch, is get pre-approved. Pre-approve is critical to moving forward to buying a home. And it's critical for a variety of reasons. Number one, and these are not in, like, this is the number one, but just one item is, when you're ready to make an offer, that offer needs, especially in this market, but really in any market, it needs to go in with a pre-approval letter, because when they get offers, especially when you get multiple offers, so in any market you're getting multiple offers. If you have, think about it for yourself. If you were selling your house and you had four offers, three people were pre-qualified, had a pre-approval letter, you know, had all their ducks in a row, and one person didn't have a pre-approval letter. They weren't paying cash. They were financing, weren't paying, you know. What are you going to do? You're not even going to look at that one without a pre-approval letter. So you have to be prepared to be one of the people they at least look at, because they have to know you're a viable candidate for their home. They don't want a problem with closing on the home. Many of these same people, when they send an offer in, the real estate agent, the listing agent, will call the lender. They'll call me, and they will want to. I can't tell them everything. They just want to make sure that I've done my job and that the person is well qualified. That happens probably 60 to 70% of the time. It's critical that you do that, or if you don't, you likely will not get your offer accepted. So pre-approval letter is critical. Another piece of that is you want to make sure that you're looking at the right price range of home. And this doesn't mean that you don't want to look too low, you don't want to look too high. Here's what I have found for the vast majority of people. A lot of people want to be in a lower price range than they end up. It's just the way it is. So you want to be pre-qualified. Let's say we pre-qualify somebody and we say, okay, you can afford, we're going to pre-qualify you to the top dollar amount. Let's say we say you can afford $400,000. Well, I want to be at $250,000. That's great. We issue a pre-approval letter for $250,000. We'll issue one for $400,000. Maybe a couple in between in case you want to go up. But as you look at homes, and you realize this person may realize $250,000 doesn't get them what they want. Home prices have increased. They realize $250,000 doesn't get them what they want. So what do? They go up. It's nice to know what your top range is, what the top is that you can buy. That's why you want to do that, so that you're in the right price range. It's also critical that you don't go over the price range you can afford. For a lot of reasons, it's very difficult to do that and really be able to keep on top of things. When you go and you start looking at homes, think about you're looking at a $500,000 house. Well, it's a certain at $500,000, there's certain things that you're going to get. There's certain things in the home, certain neighborhood, that type of thing. And then you find out you can't afford $500,000. You can't qualify for $500,000. You can only qualify for $300,000. It's really difficult to drop down to that $300,000 range. I've seen many of people try. It's very, very difficult. So you really, really want to be in the correct price range, because especially as a first-time home buyer, it makes a lot of sense to buy a home. You know, if you're selling your home and buying another one, this doesn't tend to happen as much. But when you're a first-time home buyer, it's critical that you get into the home ownership, because like we talked, you're going to have a lot more money in the long run based on having that, the equity buildup and both the appreciation of the home and the equity buildup on paying down the mortgage. So it is critical that you do that. The next thing is that once you've been pre-approved, now you're ready to hunt for a home. Now, you may need to get a real estate agent if you hadn't already. Now, when we're doing a pre-qualification or pre-approval, we're going to make sure if you don't have an agent, we will certainly help you find one. I work with a tremendous amount of agents. I know a lot of them in the city. And if you're in certain areas, you want certain agents. You don't want an agent out of, you know, Anderson, Indiana, if you're buying in Greenwood, Indiana. That's not really what you want. They aren't going to know your market. Most of them wouldn't even do that because they know they don't know the market. So you need an agent who knows your market, understands the market, and we want to help you find that. We can certainly do that if you don't have somebody. But then you're out house hunting. You search and find. You search for the house. You find the house. This is a lot of fun. You're out looking for homes, and you find the house that you want. So the next thing you do, once you found the home, you're going to make an offer. The offer goes in. Normally, the offer goes in and then there's a negotiation. And understanding a negotiation, you can negotiate pretty much anything. You can negotiate the time when you're going to close on the home. You can negotiate the price. You can negotiate when you take possession of the home. There's just a variety of things that you can negotiate. Different markets will require different situations. You know, right now, you might negotiate on how you're going to do the inspection, you know, the inspection response. I would caution anyone, just as a side note, to waive the inspection. Do not do that. I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. Trying to get a property, I think you still need the inspection, and anybody, you know, should be okay with you putting a limit. You know, I won't ask for anything fixed under a certain dollar amount, so they're not nickel and dime to death. But you know, let's say you think everything's great and the inspector comes back and there's mold in the house, you don't want to end up with that house. And so you want that protection, because I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen with people who've told me this house is perfect, I'm not worried about it. we're going to get an inspection anyway. They get the inspection, and then there's something major wrong with the house. So you don't want that to happen. So you can negotiate those things. The home inspection, we already talked about, it's certainly something you need to do. You also need to shop for homeowners insurance. Homeowners insurance is critical, and you have to have homeowners insurance. Now, homeowners insurance is insuring the home. If you buy a condo, they're going to have the insurance to cover the building, but you're still going to need homeowners insurance, and the lender is still going to need the homeowners insurance, so you're going to need to do that. We don't want you shopping for that too late, because we don't want an issue causing us something where we can't close. And when we're qualifying you, one of the things about qualifying is you have to understand I'm qualifying somebody to a payment, because one of the big things, you know, obviously there's credit. We look at credit. We look at, you know, income and assets. But debt to income is another critical piece to being qualified. And debt to income is the total housing payment. So it's your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, homeowners association dues, if there's flood insurance, anything like that, compared to your income. That's the, what I'll call the front ratio. And then all other debt plus those is the back ratio. But we have to look at that. So when we qualify you to a loan amount, we're actually qualifying you to a payment with numbers that we're estimating, and then giving you a full, you know, here's what you can afford. Here we're giving you a price, because you can't really go shopping on a payment. You have to go shopping with a price. So that's what we qualify you on. But those taxes, insurance, homeowners association dues, flood insurance, that will affect your qualification. So we need to go through that and make sure we have that. And that's why it's important, if we think they're going to be at $100 a month on homeowners insurance, that it's, you know, that if you're at the top end of what you can do, we want to make sure that we're really in, you know, fine tuned there, so we don't have a problem for closing. Then we finalize the financing. Of course, you want the financing all finalized. And once it's all done, what happens is you've got your house, everything's finalized. You're getting ready for closing. Before closing, at least, 3 days before closing, you're going to get something called a closing disclosure. It's going to give you all the numbers. They won't be 100% correct at that point, because there are still things that the lender doesn't know, or could be. Most of the time, it's very, very close, but sometimes there's little things that we're still figuring out. And then we have to get that out and have it signed 3 days in advance of closing. If we don't do that, then we can't close. So it has to go out, even if it's not 100% accurate. Then in that time between sending that out and getting it signed and closing, if there's anything that needs to be changed, we get that corrected. We fix those things. And then you get a new closing disclosure right, you know, a day before closing approximately, so you can go get your money and wire that to the closing if that's what it needs to be, or get a cashier's check. And once you have that, then you go to the closing, and you close, and then you're able to move in. And you know, I had a question the other day about moving in. This person had noticed somebody who'd sold a house down the street, and they had had a going away party for them in the neighborhood. And he said, well, they closed on Friday, but I saw them back on Sunday in the house. And is that normal? And it's one of those things, you know, we talked about, you can negotiate anything. That could have been perfectly normal. It is something that happens where you don't give possession the day of closing. A lot of people do give possession the day of closing, but sometimes you don't give possession the day of closing. Or sometimes something happens at the closing where the person needs access to the house. Maybe one of the things that I've seen happen a lot is they weren't able to get everything out of the house, so they left a few things in the garage at closing. They verify with the buyer that they can do that, and then they leave the one garage door opener in the house so that they have it, but they go back and pick up the last few items after closing. So it is something that can happen. It is definitely something that does happen, and not something to be concerned about. But you just have to make sure that you have a very good agent who can walk you through that entire process. It is critical that you do understand the process, and that you have a real estate agent that can walk you through that entire process. If you have any questions, you need a real estate agent, or you want to understand the pre-approval process, or you want to get signed up to do the first-time home buyer seminar, please go to my website. It's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You have all my contact information there. and we'll walk you through all the processes, do the very best we can to make sure that you're very comfortable with whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. Again, I appreciate you joining me today. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great Saturday.